Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. It's our second episode back with the podcast. It's been, well, we came back last week, and then that was the first one in 4 months, and now we're back again, and I'm hoping to record one again later on this week, potentially talking about more Australia Cup action, which is what we're going to do tonight. And I'm joined by Jose Campo to do so. Jose, I haven't done a podcast in 4 months. It's been how long since you've done a podcast?
I don't know. I haven't kept track, to be honest, but it's good to be back. You know, I'm happy to give my opinion on anything that we're talking about, you know. You know, it's good to have you back as well after 4 months. So welcome back, I guess. Yeah.
Thank you. I actually got welcomed back last week, but
well, this is from
welcome,
me personally.
A welcome back from you personally has actually made me feel much better. So thank you very much. But in all seriousness, we are going to talk about the first two nights of Australia Cup action, the round of 32. Of course, it started on Tuesday night. We are going to talk a little bit about the Wanderers. We've got some bit of a Northern Territory discussion I want to have. Raiders Cooks Hill, I went to that game last night, we'll talk about that. Northern Tigers, Sydney United, some other stuff with goalkeepers, some stats. I've got a whole bunch of things planned. So, Jose, let's actually just not waste any time and get straight into this. So, the Western Sydney Wanderers kicking off, I believe the only A-League team who has actually played in the round of 32, and a 3-0 win. Game was done in half an hour.
Pretty much.
Totally just went in there and just ripped the soul out of Peninsula Power. I'm just going to throw to you. You're very clued in on the Wanderers. So what's your sort of any big early takeaways from what you noticed in that game?
I think it was a pretty what you would expect from an A-League club against an NPL team, to be honest. I mean, it is what is expected of the Wanderers, per se. But honestly, first half was exactly what you would expect. A very solid 3 goals from Cryev in like the first half an hour, I think. Two good goals. And they just kept pressing on the Power's defense, obviously forcing errors and all that. Obviously, they leaving like a lot of space with the like behind the defenders and all that. So it was good. I thought it was very good. Second half was probably just playing it safe, you know, not try to cause any injuries or push them too hard. So I thought it was a very good win. And I think it's too early to say anything. I thought Barbarossa looked very, very, very good. I know it's against an NPL team, but I thought he looked, had a good start, you know, like distributed pretty well. Had a good work rate, well, like going on around this field. Alu Kuol, he's another signing as well. I thought he could use a bit of work. That's all I can say. Technically, he looks.
It's one game in, and I've already got someone getting on the Alu Kuol, case.
No, but this is just based on one game. I'm not completely against the signing. I think Alu Kuol has the physicality. He just needs to work on his finishing. And his touches mainly.
I think that's what the Mariners fans were saying for two straight years. But I'm not gonna do this again. Let's move on. Yeah. I already did this in the last episode.
I don't understand about that. He played in Germany, was like nearly the top goal scorer in like fourth div or something for the B team of Stuttgart, and then played a Bundesliga game. And then he just hasn't done anything since then. But that's not that, I didn't say don't quote me on that. You know.
You're on a podcast, man. You're automatically quoted on a microphone. But no, let's not talk about Alu Kuol too much because I already did that in the last episode, and I'm sure there's going to be some opportunities further down the line to analyze his game.
I'm not against him. I'm not against him though. I quite like him. I want him to do well. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so as many will know, I'm a big basketball fan. The Australia Cup's like it's like summer league in NBA. It's like don't overreact to the Australia Cup. So it's good that Jose, the people saying in basketball, like don't overreact to summer league, same thing. So that's your answer to that, which is good. A few things though I want to throw at you. So Cryev, two well-taken goals. He's had a season last year, his first season at the club. Looked good, scored 8 goals. I guess you don't want to make any too bold predictions, but like, could you see him? It's a good start. Yeah, it's an NPL team. I get it, but could you see him maybe increasing his scoring load this season, particularly like no
You
Sanchez, no Milanovic, so
mean
there is
replace
like a point.
Milanovic pretty much, like fill in the role of Milanovic? No, I don't see him doing that, to be honest. He's a very different player to Milanovic. Milanovic is
No,
more ex
not so much replacing him as a player, replacing like just increasing his goals to kind of help
Oh.
replace the goals that have lost.
He has a very good scoring. I would say he has a very good presence in the final third. You know, I think he's very good. I think with Barbarouses, he'll have a good link-up play with him as well. Priestman looks pretty solid as well, and I think him and Priestman could link up and all that. So who knows? It's too early to say, but I think he could increase his tally if everything goes to plan.
And then, so the first goal, great pass by Pantazopoulos, who was just like a total revelation, particularly in the second half of the season, last season. One of those centre backs who, like, is a real sort of like celebrates his tackles, hard nosed centre back.
He has a lot of
Fans really
passion.
love him. I'm sure you're a big fan.
Pantazopoulos, he's honestly been very good. Probably from his first 10 matches I've watched him play, he's honestly reached a new ceiling, I would say. I mean, like, from his first 10 matches, I thought he would be dropped, but like, he's pretty much, like, how do you say it? Exceeded everyone's expectations of him after that. And I think he's been a very solid center back with Alex Bonatig, and those two look pretty well, but well solid, I guess. They're like a wall, you know.
And
Even against like Peninsula Power, I mean, like, it's they're in preseason. It's like still very early. They're getting their fitness up, you know, and it's a good game to get the fitness up, you know. So I think once we get to the A-League season, they'll definitely impress again, that's for sure.
but what I wanted to focus on was, so that type of pass that he gave, that assist, and I again, everything that we're saying, NPL team, I get it. But if you look, so I've been doing, and I'm going to bring this stuff up
All right.
when we do the podcast, particularly during the season and stuff. But I've been doing working out like some league averages, based on some in-depth stats that are on SofaScore from last season. And kind of been working out my own spreadsheets and comparing, like, you can compare defenders, goalkeepers, particularly ones that have like played like a minimum of 10 games from last season. So I was looking at Pantazopoulos's passing stats today, and just kind of like trying to compare it to where other defenders were at the league average last year. But that includes fullbacks, which is important to know because obviously, like, a lot of fullbacks are going to have better sort of passing stats, attacking stats than centre backs, of course. But and it was nothing too special, but he kind of there was his long passing stats were actually, when it came to accurate long balls and the percentage of accurate long balls, he was actually above league average on both of those, which is interesting because I think it kind of maybe suggests that if given the license to, he might have a bit of potential to actually explore like his range of passing, maybe with like Barbarouses is one who kind of loves that. Wellington did this a lot. He loves that double movement where he'll come off the line, come towards the ball, and then run in behind, and like a centre back will just pop the ball over the top. I'm wondering if like Stajic is looking at that with like Bonatic and Pantazopoulos to try and like replicate that with a player like Barbarouses. That's an interesting thing to look at, but. The other thing I wanted to mention from this game was Hammond started over Marcus Yunus, which were you surprised by that?
A bit, to be honest. I think Marcus Yunus should be starting as well, you know,
Yeah,
but
so the only reason I thought maybe it wasn't surprising is, have you seen Yunus, the rumors about him potentially going to Brøndby in Denmark?
I've heard he was going to move to Europe, like there was a potential move to Europe, but I think he should at stay one more season in the A-League just to like
Oh, I agree.
solidify his,
Yeah, I
like
agree.
his,
I don't know. Like, I don't know why he seems to be allergic to just like playing a season
I mean, he did play a
in
full
the A-League.
season with I think PSV, right, in their B team, and
He did, he did.
he did pretty decent.
And he did pretty decent. So I guess like it's not a perfect science. Like, just because he hasn't played like a full season in the A-League being a regular starter, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be good in Europe. But I just think He's got like he could easily like he's a is he not the Milanovic replacement potentially?
Oh, I
Like,
don't
could
know. He's still very
you
young.
love a
He needs
Milanovic,
to
you
work on
just.
his, he needs to work on the decision making and like way he dribble, like just way he dribbles basically. Like Milanovic was very good at opening up space and creating chances. Marcus Yunus could do the same, but he's not really. He just needs to do a lot better with his decision making. I mean, even against Peninsula Power, he was still like losing the ball and stuff like that, and not really opening up space or whatever. Like, because he likes to drive in a lot and stuff like that. But Milanovic is pretty like diverse in where he goes. That's what makes him so dangerous. So I think if Marcus Yunus can improve his decision making and his like awareness of things, then for sure he could definitely start. I would say he should 100% start if he can improve on that. But I think Aiden Hammond is the way to go right now. I mean, like even in that first half, he looked very good, like linking up play and getting the crosses in as well, which led to Cruyff scoring. And I think Barbarouses as well. He was very good at that. So honestly, we'll see. It depends if Stars wants to play Yunus, because I definitely know Rudan did not want to play Yunus for some reason. Yeah.
I like Hammond, but the reason I brought that up was I'm wondering if like him moving to Europe is closer than what we think, and maybe Stadge is like looking at, okay, well, we better like we'll start Hammond over him in the Australia Cup because more likely that he's gonna stay and maybe Yunus is on the move. Definitely something to keep an eye on, I think. Particularly when there's already been rumors, yeah.
I don't know. Just, I mean, if Yunus wants to go to Europe, I mean, he can go to Europe, but I think he should. It's very tricky because you don't know what's really happening. So, I mean, if he decides to stay here, then I think Stars will definitely give him a chance to play. So, if it happens, it happens. Yeah, but
Yeah.
I think Yunus definitely deserves to start. I mean, he has been pretty much at the Wanderers since he was a kid. I mean, why not give the hometown hero like a go for it, for a whole season in the A-League for once?
I'd love to see that, but
Yeah.
let's see what happens. Be interesting to see. Yeah, be interesting to see what happens with him, and then also kind of how what the starting lineup looks like for the round of 16 as well with the Wanderers. Okay, last thing on the Wanderers. Okay, we're gonna have to revisit our boy Ali Kwa. I just want to mention this. So he touched the ball 18 times in the game,
Oh, yeah, wow.
and so. Which Barbarouses, I think, touched it. He had like 45 touches, something like that. So almost three times the amount. But he actually lost the ball nine times and he touched it 18 times. Ali Kwo. So again, Jose watched the game. I didn't. Just saw the stat, just pointing it out. That's it. Okay, let's move on. Now, next thing I wanted to
You
talk
sure?
about
I thought it was
was.
good. Okay.
No, we gotta move on. Like I said before,
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
We talked about Alou too much.
We all
I
know it's his touches anyway. His technical ability is not that good, man.
Well, yeah, and I don't wanna rag on him too much. Okay,
That's true, eh?
so Darwin Olympic got absolutely pulverized at home to Nana Wading City. I'm not too sure if I'm saying that
Your
correctly.
guess is better than mine, to be
Yeah.
honest. I can't
Yeah,
say
that's what
that.
we're gonna have like some angry Victorians like being like how dare you how dare you say it like that anyway, but so they're a third tier team in Victoria. They are 6-0 up at halftime. They don't actually have any like even like notable guys in their team that if you're like a regular NPL fan and you looked at their lineup you'd go oh wow yeah I know him like not really. And Darwin Olympic, who are top of the North Zone Premier League in Northern Territory, and again, no one really knows what to expect from these NT teams. But like 6-0 down at half time, and they lost 9-0, and so like I'm just kind of looking at the result, going, okay, like there's one thing getting like losing 5-0, 4-0, which has happened to a lot of the NT teams. In the 10 years that they've been in the Australia Cup, but like 6-0 at half time, just like basically, it's like a third tier team that's struggling as well in the third tier in Victoria. Like, it's a really good like thing for us to know in terms of the levels. But so I went through every single year that a Northern Territory team has been in the Australia Cup, and there was only one occasion where they haven't lost by three or more goals. And Jose, here's a question for you. Do you know which team only beat a Northern Territory team by one goal in 2018? It's incredible who it is.
Give me a letter.
It's an A-League team.
A-League team, Sydney FC. Not Sydney FC.
Cross town.
Mariners.
No. Your boys, the Wanderers.
Oh, Wanderers, are you serious?
Oh yeah, I know. So in 2018, that's
Base.
the only time a Northern Territory team in the round of 32 of the Australia Cup lost by less than 3 goals, and that was 4-3 to the Wanderers against Hellenic in
That's
2018.
embarrassing.
Oh yeah, I know. And like the Wanderers were embarrassing that year as well. That was the Marcus Babbel year, 2018-19. I think they finished eighth. But anyway, discussion's not about them, but like it's pretty funny when you go back and have a look and you just go like, holy crap, they were really bad. Anyway, the conclusion I kind of arrived to though, like when you look at that, is just like I was just trying to think, what's the benefit for the Northern Territory entrant in the round of 32 of the Australia Cup? Because basically they're guaranteed at this point, besides 1 year, they're guaranteed a heavy defeat. There are no eyeballs on any of their players, which is kind of one of the main purposes of the Australia Cup, is to put good NPL players on show on a national stage. So perhaps they're going to get picked up by an A-League club or at least get trials. There was only one occasion in the Northern Territory where that sort of happened, and that was in 2022. Barnaby Wood from Mindelases, he got a trial to Melbourne City, but then he's actually ended up not far from me. Here at, in Campbelltown, here in South Australia, he's now with them. So that's like the only name in 10 years of the Australia Cup of Northern Territory teams that actually got eyeballs on him from playing. So, okay. And I guess the counter is, well, it's good for the promotion and the recognition of football in the Northern Territory. But then I go, like, is it? Because basically, for the promotion of football in Northern Territory, well, we could get more A-League teams to go up there for pre-season games. That's another way to promote football in the territory without, local clubs getting embarrassed on a national stage. And in terms of recognition, like the recognition, it's only serving to basically underline our perception that football in the Northern Territory is really bad and it's so far off anything else elsewhere. And listen, it's not, we're talking about this, it's really not a big thing. Maybe clubs in the Northern Territory don't care, they're just happy to get the exposure. But I don't know what you think, but I was just kind of sitting there thinking, I don't really understand what the point of this is. Like for them to have a guaranteed spot in the round of 32.
I mean, well, first of all, it's an Australia Cup match. It's a national cup, so it's kind of natural for the Northern Territory to at least be represented by one club. And there you got one club representing them, and
But they
that's
could still
it.
play in the Australia Cup without having a guaranteed spot in the round of 32. And
Is
that's
that
my point.
it could just be maybe just do a playoff or something against maybe another NPL team or something like that. It could
Yes.
that's how you might solve it, but. It's still a national cup. I feel like they should still be included, even no matter how bad they are. No matter
Yeah.
they could be as terrible as a park football side, and I still believe they should still play in the Australia Cup because it's the Australia Cup. It's got Australia in it. It's got to include everyone, you know?
See, I don't. I'm not disagreeing from that standpoint. That like obviously it is literally called the Australia Cup. So of course there should be representation. What I was thinking was, and this is an interesting discussion for like a more in-depth discussion for another podcast. We don't really have the time, but like, do you think the Australia Cup should have coefficients, state-based coefficients? So
Oh,
basically,
like
yeah.
like UEFA does for the
Yeah.
nations.
Yeah.
You know
And
what?
then, but
I
even like how when in the World Cup qualifying, how, like, for example, what is it? Like Oceania, isn't it right now? Or like they used to, like, they have 0.5 slots or like 1.5 slots because then they play the Inter-Confederation
Oh yeah,
qualifiers.
like a playoff, yeah.
So, you know how you mentioned the playoff? So I was
Yeah.
thinking, so probably, and listen, apologies to our guy Tanner Code and any Tasmanians listening to this, but probably Tasmania is like the second worst when it comes to quality across the board. But even then, they're probably still much better than Northern Territory, to be fair.
And
But
whatever the city team, not to the how do you say the name? The one that plays the third tier. That what that beat them 9-0. Why do you say? I don't know. But that team though.
who?
I'm not gonna say it's Noona Whiting.
No, yeah, but they're Victorian.
Yeah, still, but I'd say that South Hobart's probably a bit better than them.
Oh yeah,
Whatever,
well,
but
that's, I mean, that's another conversation. That's interesting too. But just focusing on Northern Territory and Tasmania as an example, if you're looking at the coefficients, so we'd probably have like, okay, so New South Wales, Victoria, then like Queensland and South Australia, then maybe another tier with like Northern New South Wales and WA. Probably ACT as well is actually, I'd say, probably better than Tasmania, just based on what I know anyway.
You know what? Actually, I'm just gonna stop you there. I
Sure.
just got this idea of just off the top of my head. It's completely irrelevant to what you're saying, but you know how it's like if you still want representation from the Northern Territory, why don't they just make like an all-star team? You know what I'm saying? Like an all-star Northern Territory team, and just
Holy
make them
shit,
play
I
in
did not think
Israel.
about it. Though
Yeah.
that's interesting too. Then the only thing with that is, like, because when state federations do all-star games, like, it's very much like a fun event, and it's
Yeah.
kind of, you know, get like the players are just kind of doing it for a bit of fun, I guess, and stuff like that. Whereas that would actually be for, you know, actual like a serious game. But what I was thinking is, what if Northern Territory had a 0.5 slot in the Australia Cup? So in other words, when So, you know, like when the A-League teams do a playoff,
Yeah.
so 9 plays 12, 10 plays 11, should like the champion of the Northern Territory have to play like the runner-up in Tasmania, and then the winner of that qualifies to the round of 32? Because then you could say, okay, if the best team in Northern Territory that year can beat the second best team in Tasmania, then they've earned the right to play in the round of 32. I just think at the moment they're just kind of handed a spot based on them being good in Northern Territory when, as we know, as we're seeing, that competition, well, getting it for success in that competition just clearly is not really just because they're just getting hammered every year. So I think it's interesting. I don't know how you would, the other thing with that is like travel. Because
Yeah.
if you got literally like Northern Territory, Tasmania, but yeah, it's definitely an interesting one,
Maybe we could just
interesting
do a
one to
playoff with
consider.
like Queensland or something. Queensland is pretty big, so you know.
Yeah, but they get hammered every year if like they had to play like the second best team in Queensland. They're way better.
Maybe not the second best. I mean, like they still have to go for like a cup stage, like because they qualify for the cup stages, right? So maybe they just verse like the one of like the runner up to. One of the cup matches, you know,
I don't know,
and
maybe
finish like round
WA
seven.
team? Maybe WA team?
Maybe
Geographically?
I think they only got one team in the Australia Cup. No, am I missing someone? Huh?
Who? WA?
Yeah.
They got two.
Oh yeah, they got two.
Well, yeah, two plus
Yeah,
Perth
fair.
Glory. Yeah. Same as South Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, it's definitely interesting. I don't know if
Yeah.
like people are familiar with actually how they decide the slots. So right now, this is what it says on the Australia Cup website. So you've got each state and territory allocate a number of slots in round 32 based on the number of registered players, a number of each member federation's entrant in the preliminary rounds, which obviously Northern Territory has significant less number of like registered players and entrants based on just population. But then the decision in regard to determining a number of slots. Made after review of the previous year and feedback received from the Australia Cup Advisory Committee. I'm not too sure how many people are familiar with the Australia Cup Advisory Committee. comprised of representatives from, member federations, A-League clubs, PFA and Football Australia. But yeah, I don't know. Like the coefficient idea, I think is something that is interesting. I was mentioning it to someone last night, and they were at the Raiders Cooks Hill game, and they were definitely intrigued by it as well. I'm not too sure if Football Australia have ever thought about that as something to use moving forward. But I just think, again, I just ask, what's the benefit at the moment for Northern Territory clubs, just guaranteed a thrashing
Well,
round of 32? Anything for you to add on this?
they can make new records, they can.
That's the saving grace. Hey, next year the team from the Northern Territory can try and lose 10-0
Yeah,
and get
you
themselves the
know,
record books. Yeah.
like this year they stopped them from scoring a 10th goal. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who knows what happens next year? That's all I have to say. The only reason I'd keep them is for representation for Northern Territory because it's a national cup, but that's as far as I'd go.
All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we've got more to review from the first couple of nights of the Australia Cup. Okay, so I went to Raiders Cooks Hill last night. We're recording this on Thursday night, by the way. This will be out on a Friday. But so Cooks Hill win 3-2. Massive win for them. You could tell big celebrations at full time in the round 16. Huge moment for them as a club. I'm just going to talk about their side of things. So they go 1-0 down early. Poor start from them. Raiders started really well. Credit to them. Then they kind of ease into the game, and it becomes pretty apparent after 25, 30 minutes that they are the better team. And I think that they could sense that just watching their coach. On the side as well. And then they equalize, and then as soon as they went 2-1 up in the second half, they got a third, and then you're like, okay, cool, the game's done. And then they just did everything they could in the last 20 minutes of that game to like send it to extra time. Couldn't keep the ball, totally fatigued and exhausted, stopped running. Just inviting the Raiders pressure for no apparent reason. The Cooks Hill United coach, who I need to get his name in front of me right now because I have forgotten it. But so I don't know, Jose, you're probably the same when you go to like NPL games. I don't know how many people do this, but like the best spot to be in at either an NPL Australia Cup, a local game, is either side of the coaches' benches. Like it's or in the middle, if it's possible. It's like just it's 90 straight minutes of entertainment. So Chris Zoricic, I think I'm saying that correctly, the Cooks Hill United coach, what a character, man. Like absolutely just absolutely like unhinged. So and I mean that in like in a bantery way. So we saw the disallowed goal that Raiders had for 3-all towards the end. Which was the correct call, as much as the Raiders fans at the ground seemed like they were going to arc up to referee Thomas Brinkworth at full time. Like it was definitely an obstruction with the Cooks Hill defender. But they lost the ball in the lead up to that, and Zoricic is just like he yells out like, "How dumb are we?" Like just out loud like basically under his breath to his bench, and it was like just the funniest thing ever, just seeing a coach lose like that, and then 10 seconds later, his team almost gave up a goal for 3-0. I mean, they did, but it was disallowed. So he's an absolute character. His end of game management was very interesting, where he was just kind of yelling out, "Just stand on the ball. It's not that difficult. We just need to keep the ball." It's kind of like, well, like. You guys are tired. There's no options when guys are on the ball. They're getting double teamed, triple teamed in possession. I'm not too sure if just stand on the ball is actually the great game management tactic here. So that was weird. And honestly, they kind of got away with it because I think if that goes to extra time, I think Raiders, who were awful for most of the game, if that goes to extra time, they'd probably steal it. Given the sort of fatigue that Cooks Hill seemed to have. The last thing on them was last thing on them was Xavier Williams, 19-year-old winger who came on, scored the third goal, brilliantly taken goal. Like he was, I was actually like kind of right in front of him as he ran onto that, and then he put it away, and I was literally like saying under my breath, like, take it, take it, take it, like go on, score. Because you just want to see these young players like really sort of take the game on in those positions, and he did that brilliantly. Great goal from him, and then he actually picked up a knock and he had to come off. When he came off, they just suddenly sort of capitulated. That's when it started. So sort of a big testament to him. I just want to be clear for any Cooks Hill people watching, they fully deserve the win last night. I just thought it was kind of just hilarious how much they were just trying to give that game away. On the Raiders side of things, I mean, a lot of thoughts with them. They're bottom valley here in South Australia at the moment, and there's a real I'll get to that in a minute, just about sort of how they actually got in this position to begin with, to be in the round of 32. But I mean, they played 10 good minutes and they were awful after that. They couldn't keep the ball. Cooks Hill just looked a better team. And then basically there was some really weird selection stuff by Phil Scardino as well, the Raiders coach. So I don't know if he was trying to take a couple of gambles with his selection, or if there was like a kind of stealth tank, because they're in a relegation battle, and there's obviously Jose, like there's obviously that sort of juggling act when you're either chasing a championship or staving off relegation in the NPL. There's that juggling act of, do we put all our eggs in relegation battle and not worry about the Australia Cup, or do we try and balance both? I mean, the selection from Scardinho kind of suggested that they were kind of sort of not really that fussed if they got knocked out in the round of 32. Donny Nyankuru, who's definitely one of their more promising attackers, he was benched, and I wasn't sure whether that was like wait for one all or nil all late in the game and then introduce him. I mean, he actually did bring him on at one all at half time, so maybe that was the case. And then he also changed the goalkeeper with Vincent Barbaro dropped for Corrado Mushi, who had a terrible game. So yeah, there's some interesting stuff there too with selection that I think should be questioned. And then they in the second half, there was just this sort of, okay, like the game's not going our way, it's one all, they're the better team, okay, we're just gonna get the ball. Nyankuru, where is he? He's the guy who's gonna cause havoc. Let's just get it and like pump it long to him. And hey Donny, can you win the game for us? Like that's basically what their second half was. So just bizarre. What do you actually? I'll ask you that. What do you stand on that in terms of if you're an NPL team in a relegation battle, but you're in the Australia Cup? How do you think, just quickly, how do you think teams should approach their team selection?
I feel like if it was the Australia Cup, I mean, if you see your chances, to progress and it's very low, I honestly recommend just focusing on the league because if you're facing relegation, I mean, you want to stay in like the top league, no? That's how you attract players. So I think his decision was all right, If he's focusing on the league more than the cup, then I can't blame him for that, Because if your league changes, then so does your players. And you obviously can't keep his players if he changes leagues. So that's all I have to
Yeah, I
say.
mean, the only thing is, if you're like, what if you're like a bit of a yo-yo club that's kind of NPL second division, NPL second division, like
It's
up
not
down.
guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. Like,
It's not guaranteed, but like,
yeah.
if you've got the opportunity to like, hey, we could make an Australia Cup quarter final and really put our club on the map versus we could survive relegation, which I mean, every. Listen, like 90% of clubs are gonna go for surviving relegation. I get it, but I just think for the image, I guess, of your club, if we're looking at it from that perspective, it's an interesting sort of argument to say, hey, one massive Australia Cup run can be more beneficial. I mean, Raiders, even if they won that game last night, they weren't gonna win the round of 16 anyway. Which was the other point around. So FK Beograd, who are Croatia Raiders' rival here in South Australia. It's a big derby. They lost them in the semi-final
Right.
to make the Australia Cup round of 32, and like they just must be absolutely fuming that they didn't win that game, because they probably would have beaten Cooks Hill if they got through, and they're actually doing quite well this season in the league in the NPL. Like that, yeah, the fact that you not only lost to your rival to get to the round of 32, but then you saw them actually play like that and lose at home, would just yeah, they must be fuming over there at Beograd, no doubt, no doubt. And like Raiders to get to that stage, they beat Apollo, a team from Mount Gambier, in the first round. Then they beat Elizabeth Grove, who's a State League 2 team here. So like again, two teams, like who cares, they're always gonna win that. Then they survived big scares against two second division and third division teams here in South Australia, in Cumberland and Adelaide Hills, like survived. And then they beat Beograd. But the other thing with that Beograd game was the semi-final was that was the first game under this coach in Scardinho. So basically like an all-time new manager bounce that sort of helped them get in. So yeah, probably, like, I don't know, I haven't gone into it, but probably one of the worst entrants in terms of a team from SA over the course of like SA entrants in the Australian Cup. Like, yeah, there's
To be honest,
about six.
you have to take into account like the fatigueness of the players as well. Like some of them are playing what, two games in a week, and when you're playing semi-pro and that intense at an intense level, then
Yeah, but not in the round of 32, though.
yeah. But still, like right now, Raiders are like coming 12th, and they still can survive relegation if they beat Parramatta Eels and Knights on the
Well, that's yeah, and then there's Mopper as well. I mean, that's an interesting race at the moment. I yeah, they can definitely still stay
So
up.
I mean, with that like in mind, then I don't really blame the coach for resting his key players, you know? Like I like it for a cup run, you can just always go again next year, but for a league, it takes extra longer to like get back to where you were, because you can go back, you can just go backwards if you're not trying to, you know what I'm saying?
In saying that, there were a couple of players for Raiders who I was quite disappointed with the way they played. I just thought experienced players, but also guys that can contribute at this level in a game like this. So Marco Torriani has been an excellent defender for Raiders this season, but the second half, so he attempted 21 long balls in this game, more
Jeez.
than any other player on the pitch. I think he had like eight accurate long balls out of that 21, so less than half. And literally, man, in the second half was just bring the ball up from the keeper, like get pressed towards the touchline, and then just like hoof it long towards Neon Kuru and hope for the best. And I'm just like, what is going on here, man? Like, just get your foot on the ball, knock it around for a bit, and try and play, because they do have some players they're not that, I think they're a little bit better even than what they showed last night, even if they are a little bit down on confidence. And then Paul Radice, who has been a striker in the NPL here in South Australia for many years and a really reliable goal scorer. So kind of what we were saying about Ali Kaur before. So he had 36 touches in this game, and he lost the ball 14 times out of 36 touches. So again, almost half the time that he was on the ball, he lost it. I think he was taken off.
Yeah,
What was it?
66
66
minutes, yeah.
minute. And he also was doing this thing where every time the ball went into him, he was just first time bouncing it back. Like, not even, like when a ball comes into him and he doesn't check his shoulders to realize that there's actually space behind for him to turn and
So
drive
it's
at the
just
defense.
continuous passing back, huh?
It's
Yeah,
just
fair
like
enough.
bouncing the ball back, bouncing the ball back. It's like, hey, why don't you turn on it
I mean,
one time?
I'd understand if it was maybe he saw it and then passed it back to the midfielder, because he's like facing forward, right? So he could like do a proper long ball forward,
Well,
but.
I get it if you've got the centre back, right behind you, of course, because then you're pulling the centre back with you and you're bouncing it back, and then you're going. That makes sense. But
No,
there
but
were
even
multiple
then, if
times,
you're like facing toward, no, if you're facing away from goal, like you're not gonna have like the cleanest of touches turning, because then defenders could just easily close you down. So I feel like I kind of, I feel like that's pretty routine for a striker to like drop it back to the
But it's
midfield.
like a 10, 15 yard gap though.
I guess, but that's just on him then, I guess.
That's
Then,
what I mean.
but and it's also on the midfield too, because then if they're not making something happen from that passing back, because he's dropping deep, right? He's dropping deep from the final third
Yeah.
to like pass it back, then that would allow the wingers to make runs up front, no? Were they trying to do
Yeah, well,
that? Were
that's
they trying
true,
to do that?
but they were playing a 3-4-3 and their
Yeah.
wing backs were really wide, but they weren't really, that was actually one thing. So Alessio Benvenuto on the left-hand side, he wasn't
Yeah.
really like,
Making
he could
runs.
have gone more, he could have stretched all the way. Like, you know when you watch a winger and you're like,
Yeah.
why don't you almost test the offside line, you know, like really, really try and stretch the back four all the way. But that's also, in defense of him, that was also a bit of an unfamiliar
So
role for him.
from what I'm understanding, so basically Raiders were basically messing around pretty much. If the midfielders and wingers are not doing that, then I don't know what the fuck they, I mean, I don't know what they're doing.
Jesus.
What kind of strategy is
I just think
that?
they're not, no, they're just not good. They're just not good. That's the reality. I mean, I'm just picking apart some individual pieces, but I mean, they're, you know, I think the majority of people in South Australia would tell you, like, they fought us backwards into that slot. So,
Nah, they definitely deserve to lose this. If you're not
oh,
making
big
runs as a
time.
winger when like your striker drops deep to,
I mean, that's
it's
Zaganek.
just simple, no? It's just simple. It's
It
basic.
is,
It's pretty much
but
basic tactics.
Zaganek played on the right-hand side. He set up the goal, the first one you might have seen
Right.
with the cutback and the own goal. But yeah,
Nah,
they
that own goal was given. That was lucky. That was lucky. If
yeah,
that
I
if
mean, yeah.
whoever scored that Hilton, if Hilton hadn't tried to make a tackle in, it would have been cleared,
Was it
100%.
Hilton? Who was it on the second goal as well? Like, they were both bad errors from Cooks Hill that led to
I
both
think it was
goals.
just, oh, I don't even know, to be honest. I think it was Hilton.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to move on. But a couple other points. Bit of a disappointing crowd down at Raiders. Like, that was a big moment for them. They hadn't played on a national stage in 40 years. I think the figure came out today. It was like 600 odd. And I remember getting there, and a few of the other people that I saw at the game, and just kind of being like, "Hey, like, what's going on?" We thought, you know, particularly when a club has had as bad a season as they have had, you've got this opportunity to play on the national stage. You would have thought a passionate club like them would have more fans out and watching, but that was a little bit disappointing. I actually think it's like a. Do you think people, maybe you get this in New South Wales as well, where it's like, oh, it's who's Cooks Hill? And then it's
Yeah.
like, oh, I'm not going to. Like, maybe if it was like Raiders versus Sydney Olympic, and people go, oh, I know Sydney Olympic. This will be a big game. I'll go and, you know,
I get,
I'll go and
how was
watch.
the
It's
transport? I just gotta ask, how was the transport there? Did you
the
drive there or
transport.
yeah, did you drive there or were you
Yeah,
taking Uber?
I
Oh, I
drive
drove
there.
there.
Do you drive?
Maybe people had a problem with public transport or something. I don't know. It could be that, or it could be they were disappointed by the season they had. I'm gonna really
Yeah, maybe they're
blame
just
them, to
so
be
angry
honest.
about the league. They're like, I don't even want to go and watch the cup.
Or
I'm that
maybe they're
angry that
watching at
we're in
home on
relegation
TV, you
battle.
know, it's like why spend money on a shit
Well,
show when you could just watch it at home, you know? It's like,
Jesus.
sorry, but like you're not gonna drive to a game just to watch probably 14 pass backs to a midfielder who aren't gonna do anything to that with that. So, you know, do people do what the people want, eh?
Yeah, they do. They do. Other thing, Travis Dobb was on commentary for this game, and I'll just ask the question for the listeners. I was at the game. I didn't listen. I'm wondering if he criticised Ernest Faber at all on the broadcast, or if
I
he's
wasn't listening
actually,
to the game at all. You have to.
or if he's actually finished doing that now. If the Ernest Faber hate media tour from Travis Dodd is actually finished. I'm just wondering if
That's
that's
the
yeah.
who is that? The
That's
favorite
Adelaide
guy.
United technical director. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, I think the hate is still deserved, you know? Like,
No,
what he
all right, we're
did.
not
What
going to get
he.
into that. We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into
All
that.
right. Well, I was
No,
going to give my own opinion, but all right.
no. No. Well, I am going to throw to you now because we're going to move on. So,
Sweet.
all New South Wales tie was Northern Tigers, Sydney United. You watched this game. I didn't, obviously. I was at the Raiders game. So,
Yeah.
any pressing thoughts? Any big takeaways from
It's
this one?
pretty much Waratah Cup Final 2.0, really. That's all it
Right.
was. Sydney United kids just kept pressing on the attack, and Northern Tigers just had a really solid defense with some key opportunities to score. And That's really it. Honestly, Northern Tigers as a club is actually not that bad either. They have some really good players I like Connor Rose and Lachlan Mills. Lachlan Mills played for Sydney FC and all that. And Connor Rose played for Manly United last season, but I didn't think it was quite good enough for NPL New South Wales at that time. So, but he looks pretty decent for Northern Tigers. So if he can improve from that level, then he can definitely move up to NPL New South Wales. But honestly, I expected a win from Sydney United. They have a pretty much a stronger squad than them. Liggs Avella scored again for the second rematch, and that was pretty good. I thought Mason Wells as well was strong as always. Ballard McBride also made his starting debut in
He's been in Europe, hasn't he?
I don't know. I think he has, eh?
I think so. You keep talking. I'll check that.
But honestly, I thought it was pretty good making these runs, and he did create a few key chances. Just the only thing from him is just probably holding the ball a little bit too long. But other than that, he was pretty solid. De Oliveira as well, pretty good in the midfield with partnering with Milicevic. Yeah, they're pretty good partnership in midfield. Obviously, Milicevic is pretty good at bringing the ball up, creating opportunities, as well as De Oliveira, who is pretty good in tight areas. And defense wise, Jake McGinn, Bellis, I can't pronounce his name. The captain, I'm gonna butcher it so badly. Balistelica and Michael,
Vlastelitsa.
yeah, that's I can't say
Yeah,
it.
Adrian.
And then Michael Glasshouse, they're pretty solid at the back. So honestly, for some reason, I didn't realize Jędrzejczyk played for
Vlasov's at
Sydney.
Sydney United. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think he
wow.
played for Sydney
He's at
FC.
Sydney Olympic for back, yeah, not long ago.
Oh yeah, and I guess I think it
Interesting.
was in. I don't know. But I didn't
Yeah,
realize Jędrzejczyk played for Sydney United till like last night. Or was it? Yeah, last night. I thought it was at Wollongong Wolves. No, it was.
yeah, right.
Yeah, but I
Your
think.
guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, but apparently Prendergast was injured, so that's why he's in the role. And
You're right.
yeah.
So, yeah, Ballard McBride. Yeah, I was right. So he was in England over the last sort of year. And before that, he was actually in America for quite a few years. So Sydney FC product as well.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so just quickly as well. So Northern Tigers, that's a club which produced Keeley Adamson, for example. And they are, aren't they
I think they're somewhere
top
around there
of,
because it's very
yeah, they
close.
are. They're top
Yeah.
of League One, yeah, the second division. So you reckon they're probably going to get promoted, right?
It's hard to tell. It's very competitive in League One right now. I think seven clubs are up for promotion by like 6 points, I think that separates them. And honestly, anything could happen. I mean, SD Raiders is in the Australia Cup for like the first time in their history. I don't know what they've done for like the last 10 years, besides being mid-table in League One, but that's about it. So
Yeah,
I
you're right.
think it's been very competitive, but to say they might get promoted is they could, to be honest. I mean, they put up a very strong defense against Sydney United, and you know what they say is defense wins trophies. So they could. That's all I'm gonna
I
say.
think it's de I think it's defense wins championships.
Trophies, championships. What's the
Trophies,
difference?
championships.
Yeah. Same
Sydney
thing, right?
United. What just quickly before we move on, how far can Sydney United go?
Finals definitely. I think they're contesting with Sydney Olympic right now for
No,
final spot.
in the Australia Cup.
Oh, in the Australia Cup.
Yeah.
Why'd I go on about NPL then? My bad. I don't know. It depends who they're versing next, I guess. If they're versing, do you know who they're versing next?
No, well, they haven't, obviously they've got to wait until
They
the,
gotta.
yeah,
It
still
depends.
the
It
round
really depends
32.
who they're going to go against, to be honest. I mean,
Maybe, maybe,
out
maybe.
of all the NPL clubs, like there could be a strong contender, maybe.
Cooks,
I
they're probably
mean,
like Cooks Hill, none are waiting. Come,
yeah, no,
probably
they should beat
beat
them. I've
them.
watched Cooks Hill from the highlights. I feel like they should beat them easy.
Yeah.
The only threat really from NPL team is probably RPL Leichhardt and Heidelberg. Did I say that right? And then
Yeah.
Avondale and South
Heidelberg,
Melbourne,
Avondale, yeah.
and probably not all. None of Wydeng City after their 9-0
Wow,
win
yeah,
against Darwin Olympic.
I don't know what to think about those
I'm
guys
just
because
making it up.
yeah,
I'm
so
just adding them for fun.
yeah. Last thing on this game. I noticed, did you notice when the goal went in? Did you see our guy Harley Apizzato getting in on the celebrations?
Oh, the
A bit
photographer.
of
I didn't see that, no. I was too busy focusing on that
a
beautiful
bit
header by
of bro
Gabriel.
thinks he's on the team with Harley.
What is he doing, man?
He's well, I mean he was taking photos of the celebrations, but he was, you know, he knew what he was doing. He was
Isn't he
getting on the
hired by Sydney
camera.
United? He's basically part of the club. I mean, I don't blame him for joining in, right?
I don't know. You have to ask him. But
No, what's
yeah,
funny, none of
just
them questioned it either. I didn't even realize
yeah,
it,
oh
but
yeah,
that's how you know
I
he's
know.
part of the team, you know?
Yeah, he's just trying to sneak in there, get in on the
Yeah, probably adding
celebrations.
like a bit of shading to that photo, you know what I'm saying? They didn't want to join in, you know?
He might actually he takes the photos, so he could like when he post editing,
Bit of
bit of
selfie,
Photoshop, and put himself in like a City United kit, and there you go. He's like basically playing for them. Anyway,
they probably thought it was a coach.
moving on. Goalkeepers. So a few moments that I wanted to mention. So did you see the bicycle kick, South Hobart?
Oh yeah, it was pretty good, huh?
It was pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Great finish. We had the classic McBreen, like McBreen, like kind of going off in the
You're not going
background
to
whilst
sign this
Robbie
to a keeper
Thompson.
error, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to sign it to a keeper error. All I'm going to say is, if you watch the replay closely, and I know I'm really nitpicking here, but Javier Lopez, the
He
ball actually isn't traveling that fast, and he kind of just, he
hesitated,
just
you
sort
know.
of watches it go in. Maybe he was so shocked by Kemp doing a bicycle kick that he's just like, wait, what? And then all of a sudden he's just like, it's gone in the bottom corner. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of point that out because that was a little bit interesting. So there was that. We already mentioned Corrado Mushi from Raiders. Like he was just jumpy on the ball all night last night. I thought he just never looked comfortable with the ball at his feet. And then Jose, you saw the penalty where he controlled the ball first touch, then all of a sudden like his third touch, he just takes too
Oh
far, and then he
yeah,
takes out the yeah takes out the Cooks Hill player, and an easy penalty for that was for one all, yeah, which is also even more frustrating from a Raiders perspective because he just gave him a penalty to equalize as well. But so there was that, and then actually you're watching this game, the Northern Tigers goalkeeper, Bodie Denton, I believe is his name. Yeah, so the Zuvella goal, did you notice he just kind of like he kind of moved off his line inexplicably as the corner came in?
Yeah, I think
Like
I was trying to punch the I was trying to punch it. You can
he
see his
wasn't
hands
anywhere near it.
going.
He was like, I don't know, he kind of like came out, he was like 5 yards off his line, and then he was like totally underneath the ball. And Zuvella's like, okay, awesome, I'll just head that in. So that was interesting. Yeah, interesting night last night. Interesting night for the keepers, I thought. Interesting night for the keepers.
I
But
feel like I feel like you're nitpicking a bit, to be honest. I don't.
I think I am. I think I am.
I
But
mean, they obviously they messed up at like key at a key moment in the match. Red is, I don't know what he was doing there. That is a keeper error. That was terrible.
that's not a nitpick.
That was terrible. That was terrible decision making right there. It's just,
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing there. For Northern Tigers, I mean, Denton tried to rush out, punch the ball, but he misjudged how far it was going
Well,
to
if you
go.
misjudge it, it's an error, isn't it?
Okay, you make one mistake and okay, you know, yeah, it is an error basically, but you know, see, nitpicking right there, like, allow it. The guy made a mistake, okay, and this team got knocked out for it, but it's all right, you know, they got the league to focus on now.
I'm not. Listen, listen, listen.
All right,
This is just,
but
well,
South Melbourne, though, you can't call that a keeper error. Actually, he
I
did
didn't call it a
hesitate.
keeper error. I didn't call it a keeper error. I'm just saying. I'm just posing the
I
question,
feel like you
like.
were pointing it toward you put it in the same sentence as Raiders and Northern Tigers. I mean, like, come on. He
No, I
hesitated
wasn't.
for it. There was a bit of hesitation. I can see that, but you know, every keeper hesitates for a bit. Well, they're not supposed to do that, but you know.
Yeah, just Just bring it up. Just bring it up. No accusations. No accusations laid. All
You're making
good.
me, you're putting words into my mouth. I feel like I'm accusing them now.
I feel like you're putting words into my mouth.
Nah, it
All
can't be
right.
like that.
Let's wrap up last 5 minutes of the pod. So, just quickly, some interesting stats I noticed. So, or some interesting trends in the games. So, Avondale thrashed Stirling Macedonia or Stirling Lions, 5-1. That game was nil all at half time, and there was a little bit of, hey, what's going on with Avondale? Like, are they gonna win? That's a little bit surprising. And at half time, so in the first half, Avondale had 74% of the ball. They had 200 plus more passes than Stirling Lions, yet they didn't score. In the second half, they had almost 20% less of the ball, and they only had 35 more passes than Stirling Macedonia, and yet they scored 5 goals. So, bit of an interesting trend there, where in the end, actually having less of the ball. And maybe, who knows, playing on the counter a little bit more, playing in transition, seemed to work for Avondale in the second half of that game. The Heidelberg Western Bears game, kind of shocked how well Western Bears played in the second half, at least statistically. Heidelberg have kind of, just beat all comers in Victoria this season. They've been sensational in the NPL. And Western Bears, they're 1-0 down in the second half, and maybe Heidelberg were trying to protect the lead, but they had way more of the ball, like 60+% of the ball, way more shots, but they just didn't have the cutting edge. And of course, Heidelberg, with their quality, they did, and an easy win in the end. But yeah, just kind of really impressive, I thought, for a Northern New South Wales team to, at least for a half of football, actually dominate the ball like that against probably the best team in Victoria right now. In Heidelberg, so credit to them. And last one, Dennis Deluri from Ninawading, who, like, I'm not sure if he was stat padding against Darwin Olympic or because they're just so bad, or if he's actually this good and he's going to produce again in the round of 16. But he had 5 goal involvements. I think it was a goal and 4 assists. 100% success rate on long balls, dribble attempts, ground duels, aerial duels. And this guy, I had a look. So he played in Malta for a bit, Brisbane Strikers. He was there for a little bit too. So definitely one to watch moving forward. Like, listen, they won 9-0. It's difficult to pick out individuals or really look much into it when the opposition is that bad. But yeah, like, kind of the perfect performance from him. Anything there that I've mentioned that sort of sticks out to you?
No, I think everything you said explains it all, really. It's pretty much all self-explanatory. No surprises, to be honest. Besides the
Yeah.
9-0, obviously.
Well, yeah. That's yeah.
I don't know if I could call that a surprise. I mean, when I saw it on TV, I mean, it was all right. Sure. But I didn't realize.
But isn't that's kind of what I was saying earlier. Like, isn't that weird that it's just like, all right, like the 6-0 down at half time?
I feel like when it comes to a Northern Territory club, like, no one cares. Like, because they, like, when was the last time they made it to the round of 16? Like, to be fair.
No, they've never made it. They've never
Exactly. So, like, everyone's like, they're probably going to lose again.
made it. Yeah.
Easy.
I don't
Sweet.
know. Just I'm looking for some justice for our guys up in the NT,
I know you
just
are,
some
huh? That wasn't the same
just
thing. I wasn't the
you
same.
know,
You were trying
I want less
to get them kicked
embarrassment.
out. You were
I
trying to
want
get
less
them kicked
embarrassment.
out.
That's, you know, that's it's just it's yeah, it's a
I
bad look.
for one defended them at the start of this podcast, all right? So there you
All
go.
right.
That I
All
deserve
right, I'm gonna
credit.
start calling you an anti-football defender then, if that's
It's
what anti-football defender. Okay.
anti-football. It's more pro
Okay.
football than anti-football. If you are more anti-football by wanting to kick them out. So there you go. Imagine all the kids in Northern Territory not being able to play football because Christian Marchetti didn't want them to play football in the
I didn't
Australia
say
Cup.
that. What is going on
Yeah,
here?
there you go.
More ridiculous accusations
Nah,
from
it's not
Jose.
ridiculous. It's
Anyway,
all what he said. It's
this
basically what
is
he could be translated to, huh?
this is dragging on more than I wanted it to, as usual on this podcast. That's gonna do a quick little review there. Well, sort of quick review there of the of the Australia Cup games so far. I probably, it looks like we're going to record maybe another podcast after the Perth Wellington game, a bit of an all A-League game next up on Sunday. So do a little bit of a review of that game, some stuff that we can sort of take in. So staying tuned for that. Jose, anything that you want to mention before we sign off here?
Not really, to be honest. I pretty much explained everything I wanted about the Wanderers. Yeah, that's it.
Cheers. Okay, man of many words, clearly. Thanks for
Actually, I am though. Like, I was pretty much explaining everything, you know. I was very reliable analysis. There you go.
with your you're explaining everything with your super enthusiastic tone that you have. Just super,
You
so
know,
much energy.
there's a lot of passion under it, you know? Like, you can feel it, no?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to TBC. Yeah, TBC on that to be
Well,
confirmed.
let me know after.
Yeah,
Let
we'll
me know
talk.
soon,
Well, yeah,
though.
we'll talk off air. Okay. Let's wrap up. That's another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast in the books. We are well and truly back, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, another probably Australia Cup themed podcast coming soon. And yeah, if you want to get, your reviews on what's happening in the Australia Cup, some hot takes, some analysis, me questioning Northern Territory football, then this is where you can tune in. And yeah, until next time, it's bye for now.